plagued a potential nugget.
Just picking up on the theme of ambition, Neera, talk to us about how your ambition for Dasara has evolved over time. What was it 18 years back? What is it today? And how has it evolved?
So there's something about ambition that somehow I relate to ego. So I don't entirely resonate with the word, but maybe aspiration or feels a bit better. So to be very honest, I was probably very young and naive, and I was like, I have nothing to lose. I have everything to learn from joining and being part of what we imagined Dasara to be. But we didn't actually imagine in the long term. I think it was, let's help a few NGOs. Then we were like, wait a second, we're helping a few NGOs. Now we should be working with funders. And I think it was only 5 or 6 years ago, because the first 10 years was bumpy. Like, we were living hand to mouth, for lack of a better word. And just trying to figure out, like, what's our model? How is this going to be sustainable? And, you know, are we going to be able to hire people? And it was about 5 or 6 years ago where actually every year we had saved money. And we had a point in time where we lost all of our funding and we had to let go of our team, that it made us very nervous about growing again. And so not only were we growing our family at the time, we were also questioning, like, should we be growing Dasara, and should it just be kind of Devil and I doing this boutique kind of thing? And we told ourselves when we had lost all of our money that going forward, we would always keep 2 years of cash. So whatever our team size would be, we'd always have 2 years of cash to be able to fund that particular team size, which is really conservative. So about 5 or 6 years ago, we had asked ourselves that, you know, did we really create Dasara to be a tiny little shop? And if we see the potential for the impact to be bigger than ourselves, then why are we constraining this? And we have money to be able to invest in new opportunities or initiatives. I think that both of us said it's almost irresponsible to have created something just for us. And if we see more potential for impact ultimately on lives and solving some of these problems, then let's fund this opportunity, which we called the Indian Philanthropy Forum. Mm-hmm. And so we started at that point to realize there's wealth in India, there's new wealth in India, there's business leaders and people who also want to participate in the social sector. And that, can we be part of this indigenous giving kind of movement? Why don't we start to build that? And we had had conversations with Give India to do this together. And we thought to ourselves, well, you know, we should do it. And why don't we take money that we've saved and put it into this new initiative? And I think that's where we realized, now this is beyond the two of us. And it should be beyond the two of us. Now, should it last forever? No. But I think there's much more to be done. And therefore, thinking about how Dasara grows and the role that we play and how do we both transition to, you know, a larger, bigger One Dasara kind of organization, I think is where we are now.
Neera talks about how she and Deval have evolved the vision for Dasara, especially through some of the pivotal moments. I've noticed that for every entrepreneurial story, almost always there are at least one or two near-death experiences that the company goes through that pushes it to revisit the key assumptions and the North Star they're going after. I've found that leaders that are vulnerable and transparent are often able to create a climate for an honest conversation with the other stakeholders and navigate through the storm. These are moments where some of the larger-than-life founders often break down because they're not able to realign the stakeholders around the new flag they want to go after. The odds of coming through such a storm often have a greater correlation with the climate and trust at the top than either the gravity of the challenge or the individual brilliance of the founder. Thank you for listening. If you want to listen offline, say during a car ride home or during airplane travel, you could also access the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Savan, and several other podcast apps. In fact, Google has recently launched an app for podcast listening on Android platforms too. If you went to playtopotential.com, you would also have the opportunity to listen to multiple voices curated by a topic. You just have to click on the curated playlist section. If you find the content purposeful, please go to iTunes, rate and review the show. It will help others discover it. Thank you for listening.